Praise God. It's another good morning. God has given us to listen to His word, and I pray that you are well and God is keeping and watching over your life. You know, we're in the book of Colossians, and we are taking it step by step, and we're still in Colossians chapter 2. And today we want to look at from verse 6, and we'll try to see these aspects of philosophy. And how Christ versus philosophy, and the main philosophy at this time was something that is similar to Gnosticism, and we'll just look at some few aspects of that. So verse 6 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." Now you see, Paul was very keen to remind the church that they received Christ Jesus. It is Christ Jesus they have received. But you see, when we receive Christ, we are children. In the faith, we are children. And it is easily possible to be confused or to be taken asunder by wrong teachings, to be tossed here and there by the doctrines and the philosophies of men. And that is why Paul has to contend for the church. Remember, he says he is in a great contest. He is in a great place where assembly, where he is trying to fight for this church in Colossae and Laodicea. This is a church that was taught by Epaphras, and he is doing his best to speak to them the truth. And you see, so he wants to tell them that, "I want you to remember how you received the Lord Jesus. It was by faith. You believed, the Spirit was ministered to you, the preaching was done, you believed, you were born of the water and of the word, and you became a child of God." But you see, when you are now a child of God, the Bible says the heir, even though he's the owner of all things, if he's still a child, he's no different from a slave. And he's subjected to tutors and instructors until the time set by the Father. So likewise in the Spirit, when we come to know Christ, when we come to believe in Christ, there are things, there are inheritances that are given to us. But you see, until we grow from into the place of maturity, even though we are co-heirs with Christ, joint heirs with Christ, we will not have access to them until we grow to the point of maturity. And that is why he emphasizes that you need to now be rooted, that you need to be rooted in Christ and built up in Christ. When it says in Him, so you are rooted and you are built up in Christ. Rooting means it's like you have to think of the picture of a tree, where if you want the tree to go up, you must set roots first. The strength of a tree is not on its stem or on its branches, but the strength of a tree is on its roots. So when a tree has taken root, then we know that it shall be able to get nutrients from the ground, shall be able to be firm, to withstand the shakings. You know, I'm told of this, I think it's a bamboo that in China or Japan, where it takes 8 years, where after planting it, you don't see anything happening, but it is growing downwards. And then in the 8th year, all of a sudden it grows up to 2 meters and above from the ground upwards. And in those 8 years, you think like nothing is happening. But what is happening is actually that the plant is taking root. It's taking root, it's establishing, it's preparing for takeoff. It's, you know, many times when you want to, let's say, to shoot an arrow or a rubber band, what you do, you pull it back. Then with the same strength that you used to pull it back is that strength that will propel that arrow or that rubber band far off. So it is the same way in the things of the Spirit. We can only go as far as the depths of our roots. Just like when you're building, a building can only go as high as the foundation it was prepared. Once it is, the foundation is done, then there is no going back. It's too late to make adjustments at that point, unless you're going to bring the building down, and what a waste it will be. So a foundation can only carry the weight it was designed to carry. If you go beyond this, that building is going to crash. Likewise, in the things of the Spirit, God calls us to be rooted, to be built up in Christ. And as we received him and as we have been taught by him, then we shall be established in the faith. Remember speaking about he has given apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry till we all reach the unity of the faith and unto the knowledge of the Son of God and unto the perfect man. That perfect man is the perfection that God wants us to grow into perfection, that we continually are maturing in the image of Christ, that day by day, glory by glory, from one level of glory to another, we are being perfected into the very image of Christ. Now, that is a process. That is where the place of discipleship. You see, when you are in the world, what you need is the message of salvation. But then when you come to Christ, what you need is discipleship so that you can be grown up, you can be rooted, you can be established in the faith, you can be serving in the body, each and every part of the body of Christ, contributing and doing their part such that they are able to be a part of the whole. So now he's saying, when you're established in the faith, just as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. So it is a teaching, it is a discipleship, it is the mentorship, it is the correction, it is the rebuking that results in a believer that is rooted in Christ, that is established, that is built up. Remember, Paul is still linking us to that message of Jesus in John chapter 15, where he said, I am the vine, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. And if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall bear much fruit. No fruit, no branch can bear fruit of its own accord. So we must be rooted and firmly established in Christ if we are going to be fruitful in our walk with God. Now, why do you need to be established? Because there are those who will come with false teachings. Now, look at verse 8. What does it say? It says, beware lest anyone cheat you, lest anyone spoil you. King James puts, let any man spoil you through philosophy and empty deceit, empty deception, according to the traditions of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. One of the biggest challenges of Christianity, even in Paul's time and even today, is philosophy. What is philosophy? Philosophy is just the teachings of men, the wisdoms of men. And in the wisdoms of men, it's more about the traditions of men, rules, rites, rituals. This is what we have always done. This is what our fathers have done. We might not have a reason for it, but we follow it because this is tradition. Now, tradition is the only thing that can hinder the work of God. In fact, I think the scripture says that you hinder the work of God by your traditions. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees that you break the law, you break the word of God for the sake of your traditions. That means they put their traditions to be superior to the word of God, which should never be the case. Christ is above all. Now, what was the challenge with these philosophers? Philosophers were people who are just trying to think, always having new ideas, and they will bring a lot of confusion. But then he describes it that this is according to the tradition of men and according to the basic. This is rudimentary, saying these are things of this world, principles of the world, and not according to Christ. You see, when you're in Christ, you are above the elements. You know, when they speak of time, when they speak of gravity, when they speak of all these laws of the earth, yes, they are there, they exist, and they are set by God. But you see, when you're in the supernatural life, you can supersede some of these laws. Why? Because God is above them. God is eternal. God lives in a realm beyond us. And he has invited us to be partakers of the very life that he has, of the Zoe life of God. And this life of God enables us to see, to hear, to understand. So we are given eyes that see ears that hear, hearts that understand, and the Bible says all these things God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. When you have a dream and then you meet the person, that is already a reality that God has brought you into it, that comes in by the functionalities of the Spirit of God. So all these are available, and He's trying to say that, look here, I too was a philosopher. If it's in terms of the knowledge and the wisdom of men, I know it. And He used to debate with them, but you see, Christ is not about debates. Christ is about the life of God. He says, when I came to you, it was not by the wisdom of men, but it was, so that's all with persuasive words, but it was with the demonstration of the power of God, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but rather it shall rest on the power of God. The faith of believers is to rest on the power of God. So it's not philosophy. Now, philosophy in this time, one of the biggest challenges of their philosophy that they argued was Gnosticism. And what were they saying? They were saying that Jesus was not fully a human being. And you see, this is one of the biggest concerns of various religions. They will argue that, Jesus was not really a man. He was a spirit. He was just hidden in a body and all these things. And he was not the one that was really crucified. It was just his image that was crucified. And all these are arguments that deny the existence of Jesus in a physical body form. And you see, these are people, especially the Gnostics, they are the ones that philosophize and say that nothing is of value in the body. The only thing that is important is the spirit. And you see, the challenge with that is that you raise believers who are living in want, they're living evil lives, because they say it doesn't matter what I do to my body, what matters is the state of my spirit. And so you can find someone is living in immorality and they say, well, this body has no value, it will die, and what matters is that I am saved spiritually. And you see, whenever such people live like that, the challenge of that is that you find they live contradictory lives. Oh, the emphasis, yes, is in the new man, is in the new man at the expense of the physical body. Now, if you focus so much on the inner man and you ignore the outer man, then your outer man can die and you will not be able to sustain and fulfill the destiny that you're supposed to have. Imagine if you're not taking care of your health, there is no way you will carry the destiny that God wants for you. So it's very important that we not only take care of our inner man, but also our outer man. Think about relationships. You cannot just say just because you're born again or you're a new creation that you will not need to be a good husband or a good wife to your spouse. It's just like you can imagine the people who say they're going on fasting, let's say for 1 year or 100 days, and yes, they're married and they're insisting that they're not going to have intercourse with their spouses. Now, that is lack of wisdom, because at the end of the day, you're going to, yes, build your inner man, but you're going to destroy your outer man. You're going to destroy the relationships that you have. And you see, this is what was one of the biggest concerns with this church, is that they were being argued. They were being told that, you see, Christ did not come in a physical body. Christ was just a spirit. But then now that is why he has to clearly tell them that, look here, it's not true. I mean, think about what the scriptures are saying. The scriptures are very keen. They're insisting, and that's why it says that verse 9, for in him dwell all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So he's trying to now give us the doctrine and for us to understand that Christ was not only divine, but he was also human. And that's why he's saying, for in who? In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead. That means the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were dwelling in Christ, but where? In our body, in bodily form. So Christ was fully human and fully God. That's why I say all the fullness. So you can see it is fully God And he says, all the fullness of God, of the deity, dwells in human form. You see, when people are trying to argue that Jesus was just a spirit, he was not really human, then it argues that if he was not human, then he cannot have been able to make a perfect sacrifice for us. Why? Because for the person to pay for our sins, he had to be fully a man. And Jesus and the scriptures tell us that we do not have a high priest who has not been tempted in any way, but we have one who has gone through the heavens, who has come, who has taken on the form of a man. He has been suffered for our sake. He hungered, he was circumcised, he went through, he walked, he was touched, he was felt, he ate. But yet he was tempted in each and every way, and yet was not found with sin. He overcame, and that's why he is able to sympathize with our weaknesses. The Christ who came in bodily form, all the fullness of the Godhead, and all the fullness of Godhead dwelt in a body, dwelt in a human body. So when you understand that this doctrine of the Gnostics, one, and this philosophy of them wants to bring confusion, because when you emphasize too much on the spirit without the balance of the body, then you find people will be living in immorality and saying, well, my spirit is saved, it doesn't matter what my body does. And when you define this, then you find people are living in error. They forget that, you know, the body is the entry point to contamination of the spirit. You know, they don't understand that your eyes are gateways, your ears are gateways, your mouth is a gateway. Anything that you encounter, any place that you go is a gateway that you can give portals to access the wrong things. And so we must be conscious of the philosophies of men. Philosophies can easily bring us into confusion. Whenever you find people, yes, who are searching for the truth, yes, it is good if you're searching for the truth, but you see, if you end up in the wrong hands, if you end up in wrong philosophies, then you'll start to think through, yet there are things about God that cannot be thought through. There are things about God that are revelation. Just like if you try to philosophize the Trinity, someone will try and argue, oh, how is it 3 in 1 or 1 in 3? You know, how is it? Is it water, gas, and, you know, and ice? No, that is not. That is philosophy. That is bringing modalism, you know, where it's like 3 modes. But it's just as simple. It's 3 persons who exist as one God. They're all equal. They're all equal in authority. But they are 3 distinct persons. That is why it is Elohim. The him there means the plurality of majesty. So all this cannot be philosophy, because if you think of philosophy, philosophy is human wisdom. But you see, Christ is divine wisdom. He is our wisdom from God. He is our power from God. And he is not someone that we can, something that we can rationally understand with our human's mind. That's why it's called the basic principles of this world. I pray that God will give us wisdom, that we do not fall victim to the doctrines of men, to the traditions of men, you know, to the things that are just handed down. You know, they say, this is how we've always done it, this is the reason, and there is no other way to go about it. There is no room to hear the Spirit of God. There is no room to contradict. But you see, that is the challenge of men. We are called to that place where God expects us to depend on Christ, to hear Christ, to be taught by him. And when we let ourselves to learn him, then we shall be rooted, built up, and abounding in thanksgiving. We give thanks to God each and every day. Anyone that is growing in Christ is one who's understood the place of thanksgiving, constantly, constantly, constantly returning the glory to God. And I pray that God will keep you, watch over you, sustain you. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, that indeed you are superior to the philosophies of men. You're superior to the wisdoms of men. Indeed, you want us to be rooted and firmly established, not according to the traditions, to the patterns of men, to the issues that men want to hold us back because of their traditions, but according to Christ, as we have been taught by him, that may we be rooted and firmly established, may we be strengthened. I pray even for those that are confused through the doctrines, the philosophies of men, that you bring them clarity in their thought, in their understanding, in their expression of faith, that indeed they shall understand that indeed you came fully man and fully God, and you are our King, you are our Lord, you are our all-in-all Jesus. That, Lord, may we be established, may we be strengthened, and may we be covered. Watch over us, protect us. Thank you for the nations that are going through elections, for Uganda, for Bangladesh. That, Lord, your hand, your power shall be upon them, O God. We pray for the governors. We pray for your grace, your wisdom, your protection, your favor over each and every one of us, O God. May you walk with us, direct us, sustain us, and be our shield. All in all, we honor you, we adore you, and we give you glory. Blessed Redeemer, may your name be exalted and be magnified. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. We pray and believe. Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.